From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. French media is reporting authorities used DNA and fingerprints to confirm the identity of the gunman who was brought down by three Americans on a high-speed train last night. President Obama has called the Americans today to thank them for their courage. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports officials say the suspect had links to Islamist extremists.
The suspect in the thwarted train massacre is 26-year-old Moroccan Ayoub El-Kazani. He's believed to belong to radical Islamist networks and was under surveillance by Spanish, French, and Belgian authorities. Counterterrorism experts believe El-Kazani tried to travel to Syria in May. He boarded the train in Brussels Friday with a Kalashnikov, a pistol, and 9 loaded cartridges, and is thought to have planned to carry out a massacre. He was neutralized by 2 off-duty American servicemen and their friend on the train, which was traveling from Amsterdam to Paris. El-Kazani told counterterrorism police he simply wanted to hold up passengers and that he had found the weapons in a Brussels park. When interrogators confronted him with his background, he stopped talking. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Massive wildfires continue to burn out of control across the West, forcing thousands of evacuations and smothering towns in smoke. NPR's Nathan Rott reports the fire activity is especially high in Washington State, where 3 firefighters were killed earlier this week.
The Okanagan complex burning in north-central Washington State grew by more than 100 square miles in the last couple of days. So fast and so chaotic that officials are still trying to figure out just how many structures it took with it. Todd Pechota is an incident commander on one of the fires there.
Today is a different story. I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to get some progress made with the break in the weather.
The state took the unprecedented step of asking for volunteers to help fight the fires there. Resources are spread so thin around the West that the U.S. military has already stepped in, sending soldiers to the front lines to help combat the blazes. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
A Texas judge has sentenced a football player at Baylor University to 6 months in jail for sexually assaulting a student last year. As Kat Chow reports, the sentence is raising new questions about the thoroughness of Baylor's earlier investigation into the complaint.
During the trial, a Baylor official told the jury the school had looked into the woman's complaint that Uguachu had sexually assaulted her, but there wasn't enough evidence to move forward. The 22-year-old defensive end had been previously dismissed from Boise State's football program for unspecified reasons. The judge said the university's inquiry was so insufficient, Uguachu's lawyers could not cite it as part of their defense. Following the conviction, Baylor officials issued a statement that said, "Acts of sexual violence contradict their values as a caring Christian community." The school's president is calling for an internal inquiry into the case and will decide what additional action may be necessary. Kat Chow, NPR News.
This is NPR. In Britain, 7 people were killed today when a military plane crashed onto a busy road during an air show near Brighton. The Hawker Hunter fighter jet hit several vehicles and exploded into a fireball. Police say all the victims died at the scene. 2 Canadian law firms have filed a more than $500 million class action lawsuit against the parent companies that run Ashley Madison, a dating website for people looking to have extramarital affairs. Dan Karpinchuk reports the lawsuit comes after hackers exposed about 39 million memberships.
The legal action is being taken on behalf of Canadians who subscribe to Ashley Madison and whose personal information was disclosed to the public. The website, which facilitates affairs, was breached in July. Users' names, emails, home addresses, and message history were posted publicly online this week. Users are outraged that Ashley Madison failed to protect their personal information. According to the data breach, some credit card transactions came from computers in Canada's Department of National Defense and Parliament, as well as from U.S. government workers with sensitive jobs in the White House, Congress, and the Justice Department. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Funeral services are being held in Detroit today for an African-American woman believed to be the oldest U.S. veteran at the time of her death. Emma Didlake was a 38-year-old wife and mother of 5 when she signed up in 1943 for the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps. She served stateside as a private and driver. Didlake died Sunday at the age of 110. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington. Support.